Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy Jonathan Macri with you for another edition of NBA Takedown. As we are here on the precipice of round two. I can't believe it is only round two of the NBA playoffs because it feels like the playoffs have been on for about 6 weeks. It's been some very exciting times. Sean with a W, how you doing?
I'm doing good. To your point, that was the longest. The time between games three and game six felt a lot longer than a week. A lot of ups and downs and, you know, kvetching that had to get done. And then we got a few days off because Knicks took care of business, unlike some other team in the Eastern Conference, which I'm sure we will get to at some point during this show.
I don't know who you're talking about. Jeff, how many teams that ended up winning their series had fan bases wanting to fire the coach, trade at least one of the top players, fire the front office? I think like half of them, half of the teams, half of the eight.
Yes.
I'm giving you the low hanging fruit here.
I feel like if you're an Eastern Conference non-Knick playoff team, at some point you were mad at somebody or something. And in the West, I think you pretty much set. In the West, you're pretty much set. I don't think there's anybody who really has a beef other than maybe Lakers fans who had to sweat a game six.
That's fair.
Past that. And I mean Timberwolves fans because they've become unfortunate. They've unfortunately emulated the Knicks in another way in that they've rehashed 2024. They're the ultimate universe version of the 2024 Knicks with the triage unit and everybody going down. So,
listen, man.
Unfortunately, because I feel like if everybody was healthy on that squad,
there's going to be a Timberwolves
path
take
to the Western Conference Finals would be there.
There's going to be a take from me on this episode concerning the Timberwolves that I will just say may raise an eyebrow or two. Sean, what were you about to say? You had something about to come out.
No, I was going to say that the only person in the Western Conference who would have a beef is Tiago Splitter because his boss is trying to lowball him to holy hell, salary-wise.
The Blazers situation is endlessly fascinating. We don't need to talk about the Blazers. I think, actually, funny enough, this is very actually ironic because the one team... The one fan base of an Eastern Conference team that I don't think like truly hated their team at any point whatsoever or their organization in some way at any point in the first round is the team that traditionally hates their team more than any other, and that's Philly. Because Knicks fans down 2-1, I know I said some choice words, you know, and then there's all the losers, and then Cavs fans and Pistons fans weren't happy. So yeah, it's really just the Sixers, and now here we are.
The plot twist, but it's coming. Don't worry.
Oh, hey, listen, comes for us all. Can I get one small thing out of the way before we do? So I have Raheem Palmer coming on from The Ringer in about 20 minutes or so. Before that, we're gonna actually power rank the eight remaining teams as we do with the first episode of every new month, and we're gonna do that based on championship equity. Before we get there, though. I have one small gripe, and then actually maybe we could get to some Boston stuff, and then we could do the power ranking. I was listening to Zach and Bill Simmons on Bill Simmons' podcast, which is excellent, by the way. Shout out to The Ringer.
Appointment level listening that podcast was.
Both, yes. Both parts or just part?
I've only got through part. I only finished part one, but I was here for it. You know,
everybody was. Shout out to Bill on the boat, the yacht with Vrabel and I don't know who the woman.
Diana
Rossini.
Sure.
Diana Rossini.
Okay. Great. I've kind of tapped out of that whole story, but everybody seems to be very upset. Here's my gripe, very, very quickly. They were going through trades for teams that have been eliminated and like picks and like, oh, this pick's going to be juicy. That's pick's going to be juicy. We need to have an NBA general content creator meeting or something where everybody gets on the same page about the value of pick packages moving forward or lack thereof, Because if we're doing these lottery reform rules, and it feels like we're doing these lottery reform rules, great. You own the picks of a team that might be the most dogshit franchise in the league for most of the next decade. Congratulations. Your asset has a 2.5% chance of being number one. Because now, if you finish with the worst record, or the second worst, the third worst, those are the odds, or 2.6 or 2.7, whatever, 2.something% chance. And even the best possible odds your pick could ever have finishing number one is like, I think it's 8% or something. And then even if, again, it's a really bad team, you could still fall to 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is. We need to come to a bit of a reckoning about this, because I'm hearing, you know, talk about, well, that's a juicy asset, or that's a juicy asset. No. This is all going to change. And I think people haven't fully wrapped their mind around that. That was my one little soapbox I wanted to get on. We go.
I'm good. Listen, I'll just say this. I think this whole lottery reform is basically, so during the pandemic, the Atlantic wrote an article. It was called Hygiene Theater. And it was about the things that people do to make look like they're being safe and vigilant, but they actually have nothing to do with preventing you from getting COVID. So it's like, I wash my hands and we do this and we do that. It's like certain things, obviously, like, you know, 6 feet away or whatever, but there's so many people just doing so many things. Like, this is not like wiping down the tray table on the plane. No. Wiping down groceries, wiping on the tray table in front of you on a flight. None of that's going to prevent you from getting COVID or thinking, oh, I got to put the mail in the corner because I got to let it sit there because COVID comes through the mail. I think this is reform theater, because at the end of the day, the owners do not want to not have an incentive to be bad and benefit. Welcome to our society in America. And they put together something that people are going to like. And then a few days later, and then next year or 2 years from now, the same people that are complaining about this are going to be complaining about it again.
Well, there's always going to be something to complain about. And
they have an opt-out clause.
Yeah. So, trial period, right?
It's a trial period. So they're planning for this to be a temporary solution. Not to mention the fact that the next couple of draft classes are projected to be mid. So this might all be much ado about nothing.
Yeah, I'm most curious to see how the Giannis thing plays out this summer. And it's actually a perfect confluence of events, because you got a small market franchise, so incentive maybe more than some others to like get fannies in the seats, to have like a 35 win team or whatever, especially with the reform and what value will they place on picks for him as opposed to ready-made players. But we'll talk about that a different day. Boston. Before the power rankings, thoughts. That's all. I'm just gonna thoughts. That's the tee off.
Two words: basketball hubris.
And I was. Who's that directed at? Is that directed at the fans? Is that directed at someone holding the clipboard?
Everybody.
Yes.
Everyone.
Basketball hubris, bro.
Jeff, that is your term, and it is so encapsulating. I was discussing earlier today on Hoop Spaces today. We touched on this last week after the playoff hangover. All of these people, and not just the trolls and the engagement baiters and the rage baiters, respectable media members just pencil this team into the finals. And I did not understand why this team was better than last year's team or the team from 2 years ago. And to think that they could I want to know now if they regret even bringing Tatum back.
Like, oh, that's a good question. I
don't think they do.
From what person? Why? Because it changed the expectations?
It changed expectations. You risk getting him hurt again.
Yeah, but he didn't get hurt. I mean, obviously he got hurt in game six and didn't play in game seven, but like he didn't get permanently hurt.
It's funny, we're talking about tanking. Maybe they should have just taken the gap year. Why? Like,
they
think
were
about
never gonna.
But that, well, that's why.
And if they were gonna do that, they should fire their coach, which I know some Celtics fans want them to fire the coach. I wouldn't quite go that far.
I'll say this and I'll pass it on. The unintended consequences of them losing that game the way they did. And I detailed it on Absicle yesterday that they are, John, I don't know if you realize, Jaylen Brown hit a jumper. They're down one, 97-96, 5:02 left. They then proceeded to go 1-for-12 for the rest of the game, 0-for-9 from three.
Yep.
There's a part of me that the Boston Celtics is just going to think, oh, we got unlucky. If we had Tatum back, we would have been the one seed and this and the way that things broke. And because the NBA, and they're going to run this way of playing basketball back next year. And like Bill Simmons pointed out today, this is now three times in 4 years that you fell flat on your face because the variance varianted the other way. Now, great, listen, they got a championship in there, so you don't got to say you're sorry. But if they approach this next season with the same level of basketball hubris, because as I said on Playoff Hangover, people who picked the Celtics to win the East and win the title, they weren't picking the players, they were picking laundry, and they were mesmerized by banners and Celtic pride.
They were picking the system. Stuff. They were picking a style of play that they believed would be a surer thing than the rest of the East. That's what they were picking.
And listen,
you disagree with the statement or you disagree with that logic?
I disagree with the logic.
Okay.
I'm Sean Cook, because I'll
say this.
Talk about this for hours.
If we're here 1 year from now and the Celtics have lost in the second round to, the Orlando
Magic. Tom Thibodeau's
Magic.
Orlando Magic.
Well, you know, you got to look at the three-point variance. Are they going to make the shots? Are they going to miss the shots? Are the corner threes going in at a variable rate? Or do you force them above the break? Do you try to get them uncomfortable? The game tells you what to do. And in these moments, you have to wonder, where are you going to pick your spots? Where are you going to allow them to get the most uncomfortable shots? This is a year into the future when Tibbs knocks these guys out.
You want to laugh though? Press conference. You want to laugh though? This is going to be even one step up from the Lakers Nuggets most competitive sweep in NBA history. Those Celtics Pacers, the year they won the championship, those first three actually Celtics Pacers games all came down to the last minute, and I believe the Pacers had like a lead in a couple of them. That Jaylen Brown corner three, that is as important a shot as any NBA champion has hit in a while, because and that was game one, I believe. So
that was
like
game one,
yeah. You know, look, they won the championship. Nobody can take that away from them. They won it pretty convincingly at the end of the day. But like, I'd be very curious if Jaylen Brown's gonna pop, if his name is going to pop up in rumors, because he makes a lot of money and there are a lot of teams out there that are going to be desperate to make some sort of a move. And they could hold him up as a shiny object. Cause to me, that would be the repudiation of how they play, because it would almost be a sense like we need a true floor general, you know, to like guide the offense as opposed to always relying on like the system. But that's my two cents. Jeff, what are your thoughts?
One, I echo what Sean is saying about basketball hubris, but I'll extend the hubris to the media. It's basketball hubris to believe that a system can be plug and play in this generation's NBA and be infallible. It's basketball hubris to pick a team to be a favorite because you're in essence hoping that you keep hitting a 7 on the come out roll.
Yes.
That the person that's rolling, that's the hot hand. He cannot leave. I don't care if he has to catch a flight. We will pay for his flight. I don't care if he has to check out of a hotel room. We will pay for his hotel room. He cannot leave the table. He got to keep rolling. That we got to ride the hot hand. That's in essence what they were banking on. And also, they got gassed off of Tatum looking really good. Yeah. What we were saying the whole time. And yeah, Sean, it was more effectiveness than efficiency. Which goes back to my whole point of basketball hubris to begin with. They were inefficient with what they were doing. The three games that they won against the Sixers was when they went crazy from three. The four games they lost, they shot like trash from beyond the arc, right? Like, okay, just because you won a title does not justify running with a system where that just running a system and hoping that it's going to be effective because, oh, it's worked before. Oh, just because it worked before, we're just going to continue to run the system and system and system. You know what?
Without
that's
the
like?
Same personnel.
Not the same personnel. Not a better team than last year. Why don't we start with that? They're a better team than they were last year. They don't Drew Holiday ain't there. Al Horford ain't there. Kristaps Porzingis ain't there. Guys that you could actually rely on to hit buckets like that aren't there. That's first off. You know what it's like, John? It's like saying, and people who know me, they're going to get triggered when I say this. Hey, man, I know my gas tank. I know my gas tank. When the icon becomes orange and I can see the gas tank, that means I have about 15, 20 more miles. I don't need to go get gas now because the majority of time that I've driven on the road, I've been able to get to a gas station right in time. Yeah. There's been one or two times where it's run out of gas and I've had to start it up again and hope that that last bit of dust could get me to the nearest gas station. But for the most part, if I know my gas tank, I don't even need to look at the indicator at this point. 15 to 20 miles, I know in the back of my head, the system works every time. What about the one time where you're on the highway and the next stop is 21 miles away? What about if you're driving on a road in the winter with tons of snow on it, or I don't know, a bunch of potholes? Every road isn't the same. Every destination ain't the same. You can get caught out there if you're using a system, if you're operating in a certain way that works just because it worked once. Just because it worked once, that means, or that it's been highly effective a majority of the time, that means I don't have to tailor it to the current situation. Like, bro, there's no way these dudes were down one with like 2 minutes to go and shot 12 of 13 from three. Nemias Keita waving his hands on the fast break. You get the ball there, you dunk it, you up one, right? There's a lot to be said about systems. There's also a lot to be said about the art and the emotional aspect of the game. What does it do to the team when you take a lead? Does it force them to play differently? Is there a creeping sense in your mind that, hey, we might not be able to pull out this game seven? And you do that by applying pressure. Too much of the game has been trying to be decided on abacuses and spreadsheets, and too much of the art is what we've been going away with it. And I think the way the Celtics play ball leans into that. And the analysis is, well, it worked before. They are who they are, who they are. They're going to go down with the ship. If you know that's the way they are, why do y'all keep picking them?
Well, I think maybe, in fairness, maybe this one was the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe people looked at last year's evaporation against the Knicks and maybe use the Tatum injury as the thing to get them over the hump of the justification, where it's like, well, yeah, but if he didn't get injured, they could have come back from 3-0-9. And they extended the rationale for one more year. And then when Boston went out and they, what were they, 45 over under? 45 and a half over under, something along
those lines? Yeah, it's like 45 and a half.
45 and a half. And then they went out and won, I don't know how many games, they won 56, 55 games, whatever it was. And then they were further emboldened in that original position, where I think you nail it, Jeff. The kid is there waving his arms and it's nothing happening. That's the light goes on. And you pass the gas station on the highway because you think, all right, I'll probably, you know what? I don't need to get it right now. You know, that's basketball hubris.
Yeah. I'm almost home. It's all good. It's all good. And you know what? Jaylen Brown, this is on your jacket.
Oh,
because I saw that damn All-Star game when the olds were going up against the youngs and the youngs were starting to pull away. And you come into the game with Brunson and a bunch of other guys. They're like,
yeah,
I got this. And you shoot the team. You shoot the team out of the game. You can get a bucket anywhere.
Yes.
The fact that you said, yo, we're just going to put up these threes. What's the point? You're trying to hit game breakers when you're down one.
It's easy.
Game breakers?
It's easy. And the and look, I've issued a lot of praise to Joe Mazzulla. So the coach emboldens. Not only emboldens it, the coach demands
encourages it. Yeah.
Yes. That's what he wants. Will be interesting offseason for Boston. Let's do a quick championship equity ranking. So again, these are not power rankings. These are championship equity rankings. So least likely to win the championship to most likely to win the championship. Mm-hmm. Is there any argument that the Lakers should be number 8 on our list?
Yes.
Okay. Who do you want at 8?
Well,
who is less likely to win the championship right now than the team that's about to face the Thunder with half of their healthy squad?
I just finished an episode of KFS Weekly Wagers where we looked at all the futures, and the team that is 80-1 to win the championship are the Minnesota Timberwolves.
That's nonsense. I'm sorry. that is utterly nonsense.
Well, both situations.
Andy Edwards might be playing tonight.
Tonight?
Or whatever their game one is. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's got pretty questionable.
They said weeks.
Yeah, guess what? Anthony Edwards took your weeks, man, and he's spitting that.
Right, now I'm trying to get some bread, bro. Because, yeah, then all right, if he's playing tonight, then it's
Chalmers
then
had
it's the Lakers.
It 2 hours ago. He's pushing to play. All right, so 8 is the Lakers. I actually was going to push for someone. I was actually going to go for a few teams before we got to the Wolves. I was going to go for the Pistons in 7. But I have a feeling folks are maybe not going to like that. Jeff, do you want to propose someone for 7?
Ooh, you
listen. Wow. Did we all watch that series against the Magic? You're telling me team is going to win 3 more playoff rounds?
Well, I'll tell you this much before anything. Cry me a river about injuries. Cry me a river. I get it. If Franz was there, maybe we're talking about something different. Yeah, but at the same time, you had a 24-point lead at home in game 6, and you legit only had to hit 5 more baskets.
And they hit one.
That should not be possible.
No, it should not. Well, and now Jamal Mosley, and we'll talk about it when Raheem comes on here, because I think he was the one who reported it. Yeah. I really want to put the Pistons in 7. I don't think you could watch that first round and say that is a team capable of beating real basketball teams. 3 real basketball teams.
I don't have a real pushback from you there, because I look at everybody else that's left. I think if the triage Timberwolves were in the position that the Pistons were in, I don't think that they go down 3-1. I don't think they can go down 3-1, even with the team that they have against the Magic. I don't think they go down. So yeah, you're not going to get any pushback from me.
All right, 2-1, Sean. Your vote doesn't count. Sorry. Look, it's a majority.
That's fine. Listen, I said all year they're not winning 2 playoff series. So here we are, and they almost didn't win 1.
They might win 2 because the team that I am tempted to put in 6 is the Cavs, and I don't. Because they didn't exactly cover themselves in glory, but I'll open it up to you guys. Sean, who should go 6th?
I guess we can put, because I'm looking at this right now. So we have the Lakers 8, Detroit 7. 6 is either, it depends on when you think Luka's playing. This morning.
Luka's, we already have the Lakers in 8.
We have the Lakers at 8.
No, not the Lakers. Sorry.
When you think
Sixers,
who's playing?
The Sixers.
So it's team needs to stay healthy for another 6 weeks versus team that employs James Harden.
Which is why I'm kind of leaning toward the Sixers here, because again, the X factor is the guy that I've said for the longest. When have you seen him play 2 weeks in a row? And John, when Maxie fell into his leg on Saturday night, I was just like, this guy is
that was the
cursed.
Second time.
I was like, this guy is cursed. I mean, I'll never forgive what he did to Mitch, but he can't catch a break. So I'm putting the Sixers here because they have 6 guys, and one of them has one leg and a hole in the side of his stomach.
Jeff, I would vote Sixers 5, Cavs 6, but you be the tiebreaker. Who goes here in 6th?
So the question is it's too many questions.
That's a lot of questions.
Do you have more faith in the Sixers to beat the Knicks or the Cavs to beat the Pistons?
I have more faith in the Cavs to beat the Pistons. And yet, if the Sixers beat the Knicks, I have way more faith in them to get through the Eastern Conference Finals. And at least if they're healthy, it's the bright, shiny.
Right. I think the Sixers have a higher ceiling. Because if we want to talk about should have, would have, could have handled business,
And that's
Brandon Ingram being out of that matchup. And
Emmanuel Quickly
still close-ish until Donovan Mitchell said enough in game seven. Yeah.
This is a championship equity power rankings. That's okay, why
equity. All right. So I'll go Cavs Sixers.
I love how Sean's just eating it. All right. Top what? Top four. Who do we have left? We have OKC, San Antonio, the Knicks, and the Wolves. I think this is the right spot for the Wolves.
NBA.com, you may have heard of it, says...
You've been digging this whole time for some Anthony Edwards injury something.
No, I was actually betting on the Wolves to win the championship at 80-1. Because at the very least, I can hedge if something
I don't know about the championship. I like them as a... I think what Simmons said today, 13-1 to win in... No, 14-1 to win in 7, 13-1 to win in 6 against San Antonio. Those are interesting to me.
So going into the playoffs, I bet them to make the Western Conference Finals. It was plus 1040. So I will basically, I'm just leaving that alone. I did before game one.
It's a good job. Babe.
NBA.com says it's questionable. I'm also reading that he's probable for game three, probable for like game three or four. Like, I didn't think he was to play tonight. No. You want to talk about like variance between ceiling and floor. I would have to put Minnesota 4 just because of, like, that's it's fine. His knee. Like,
yeah, no, Minnesota should be 4. I just think for me, there's an A tier and there's a B tier. If you want to separate it into A, B, C, then whatever. I have a question. Sure.
If Anthony Edwards were healthy, would they be above San Antonio in terms of equity?
Personally?
Yes.
Personally, for me, yes.
They should.
Okay.
That team showed me so much in the last round. I got another one for you. I think this is a great series for Julius Randle coming up. I think Julius Randle's going to eat.
Yes, he is. Ain't no one that team can guard him.
Nope.
2021 revenge. Last year was like, yo, I'm actually good in the playoffs. This year might be, now let me show you what I could do with some healthy limbs and a lesser squad.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say now. I think the Wolves are gonna. I think the Wolves are gonna win this series. Yes, I think they're gonna win the series. Assuming Anthony Edwards, honestly, even if he missed tonight and he plays in game two, so what? They got smoked in game one. Big deal. Series doesn't start until the road team wins a game. So Wolves third, and we're gonna put OKC up top. What's the order? Knicks, Spurs, 2-3.
Knicks 2, Spurs 3.
Jeff, you like that?
Yeah, you know what's my tiebreaker between the two? One, the Knicks, I think don't have to face the Spurs or the Thunder to get out of the conference. That's one.
Yes.
And two, I've seen the Knicks play against the Spurs with stakes on the line. I've seen the Knicks play against the Spurs at home. I've seen the Knicks play the Spurs away and, cough up a lead during that what the hell was going on the last 2 weeks of December, right, in the cup hangover game. I think styles make fights, and I think if the Knicks were to face the Spurs, I mean, I would feel good about either the Spurs or the Thunder, but especially the Spurs. I know everybody's going to Wemby you to death, but those rest of the guys got to show up too, and they got to match up with what the Knicks got. And they got to match up with the Knicks bench. So
I think the first thing you said is the bigger thing, which is that the Knicks don't have to get past two behemoths to get to the finals. And then once you get to the finals, anything can happen. We've seen some anythings happen over the years for finals purposes. Shout out to Kevin Durant's what was that? His Achilles? His ACL?
That he tore? His Achilles.
In the finals.
His Achilles.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you never know. All right. So let's get started on going through some of these series here. And then hopefully Raheem could still join us at some point. Where should we begin? What's the least interesting of these series for you? And then we'll build up to the most interesting series.
Lakers Thunder.
So what would make that series interesting?
Luka coming back.
I should have phrased it differently. Is there anything other than Luka Doncic coming back that would make that series interesting?
Can Bron do it again? That's really the entry point for me. That's the intrigue. Can Bron dial it back one more time and overcome an insurmountable odd in the playoffs? That's really what it is.
Looking at that team, even with Bron doing what LeBron was doing in the last round, that he was going after it in the last round as much as he could humanly do, and seeing how much they struggled to generate good shots and how much, like, the fact that there's a guy on their roster in Luke Kennard that is vitally important to everything that they are doing, and he has fallen out of every rotation he has ever been on in the league thus, you know, through his career, that would be slightly worrisome to me. But at the same time, he's important for a reason. He's shooting it, and they're kind of figuring out some ways to get around that. And their offense still stinks. Sean, is anything about that series interesting to you?
I think game one of that series will be reminiscent of game one of the 2018 NBA Finals, because LeBron is going to be like, listen, empty the tank. And so funny, I was discussing that on Spaces, and I was like, yo, who's going to be J.R. Smith? And then we all said Marcus Smart in unison. And then someone said Bronny.
Oh, that would be me.
That would be me. But that's what that interests me. I feel like LeBron is emptying the clip tonight. This, because these games are every other day. So he's never going to have any more rest that he's going to have right now.
I mean, the Lakers are—they're putting up 107.4 points per 100 possessions. That's 12th of 16 playoff teams. Obviously, would be last in the regular season, but playoffs are different. I just don't know where the offense is coming from. I will say the J Dub piece of this—the fact that he is hurt—is interesting to me. But again, did they even need him to get past this round? I feel like they kind of don't. I don't know. You give them a shot to steal one of these. I feel like they would almost have to steal one of these two games.
Yeah, they got to steal. It's game one. I'm not saying they're going to steal game one, but that's their best shot. That's the Oklahoma City's looking at them. We've been off for a while. We're going to underestimate them. LeBron's old. It's Luke Kennard. It's Marcus Smart. What's the name? Austin Reeves is barbecue chicken. Like, they're going to. That could be the game where they think, let's see if they think they can roll out of bed and get a win and then realize they're in a dogfight, because that's still LeBron James over there.
I don't know. What is it? Like, is a sweep about even money?
I will let you know from my friend, the Fanatic Sportsbook.
I think it is. Is there an argument that the Thunder not having to sweat out either of these first two rounds, assuming they don't, could actually hurt them in the long run?
Who knows, man? I don't think it will hurt them. Some boys, they champions, they young. Whatever, man. They're going to show up. They're going to play their game. That's the one thing that's a constant about OKC. They're going to play their game, for better or for worse, right? It's kind of like what we were talking about with basketball hubris. But the thing is, this is like OKC system. They're gonna play their game. You know, their people are going to show up. Everybody has their own... they know their roles and they're doing all of that. I don't think resting might be to their benefit, because they can like chill and get J-Dub healthy and do all of that. So,
yeah,
man, I'd want those guys to keep playing and playing and playing, exhaust themselves.
No, that's fair. By the way, the last team, do you guys know offhand, the last NBA champion to make it out of the second round of the NBA playoffs. The last NBA champion to make it out of the second round of the NBA playoffs.
Don't you have to make it out of the second round to win the title? I think you're awarding the
question. The next year, the year after they won the championship.
Oh, okay.
Who is the last NBA championship to make it out of the second round of the NBA playoffs?
I actually believe it is the... Wow, because the Raptors lost in the Raptors lost in round two.
Not the Raptors.
The Lakers lost in round two. The Nuggets lost in round two.
That's correct.
The Sixers, not the Sixers, the Celtics lost in round two. So we're going back to the Bucks.
Oh, it's the Warriors.
It's the Warriors. The 2000.
Because they lost to the Raptors in the finals.
Yeah, so, but that, yes, that
right.
team.
The so they 2018, got out of the second Warriors. Round and lost in the final.
The last 6 NBA championships have not made it past the second round of the playoffs. So the Thunder are looking to obviously overcome that deficit. And I last thing, because Raheem's about to come on, and then we could dispense with the series and we could talk to him about the three more interesting series. If the Lakers won this series, let's say without Luka.
Goat.
Would this be the greatest? Oh, that actually wasn't my question, but then that's your, okay, I know what you're thinking. That's Goat. Great. Goat.
Like, goated. At this point, we're like half a generation away from that being consensus anyway. It's just the way time is and cyclical conversation is. But, I mean, half of the things that man is doing now, we will not see. Maybe not in this lifetime. Because, one, players don't want to play that long. And two, to play that long and play at that high of a clip, I know people call it, they're trying to call it like legacy padding, but you have to have a legacy in order to even be able to attempt to pad it. And I don't think it's padding when it's unprecedented. Because it'd be one thing if he was holding on and it was spotty. This is consistent. This is like consistent Bron. Like he's giving you what he's giving you and he's changing he's modifying his game. I think one of the things he's going to go down as is the best teammate enhancer the league has ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
By far.
I think the knock was always he enhances role players.
Yeah.
He doesn't always enhance other stars. That's the, you know, but again.
Like I feel like if we were on the Lakers, we would get a game if Bron had us in the rotation.
You might. My question was going to be, would this be the greatest upset in NBA history? And I...
Nuggets
over Sonics.
Forever, that's forever it for me.
I think I would take this. If Luka doesn't play in the series, I would take this.
I might have to lean that way. Like, because that was a 5-game series, that Nuggets Sonics series. That was 5 games. If this Lakers team beats that Thunder team 4 out of 7, dog.
Just because looking at it from...
There's a great argument. I'm with y'all.
Only because there are so many spots for SGA to hunt. And so the roadmap every roadmap for OKC involves shutting SGA down. Like, to me, it's at the point where the Lakers, like, do they try like some of their own version of like the rope-a-dope strategy where it's like, yeah, we're just going to let SGA score, you know, 60 points a game. And we're not going to help. Like, we're going to just switch everything. We're going to concede any switch that they want. We're going to let him go to work one-on-one. And we're just going to make sure nobody else gets going. Nope. They don't grab offensive rebounds, so on and so forth. I still don't know how you score, but I would be prepared for JJ Redick to do anything in this series. Cause I think the uphill battle is that steep.
Yep. Yeah.
This is probably the type of challenge JJ Redick envisioned when he was coaching. Like instead of having to sit on a podcast and try to devise, well, you know, I would just blah, 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 blah. Now you can just do it.
I mean, he could just do anything he wants. I'll be very curious. All right. What's the next most interesting series to you? I think you could legitimately go any of three directions with this.
I think it's the Knicks and the Sixers.
So you think both Cavs and Pistons and Spurs Wolves is more interesting than Knicks Sixers.
Oh, we're going from 3-4 to
from the bottom up. We'll save the best for last.
It's Cleveland Detroit. I mean, what interests me is my level of interest is based on my level of pettiness, and that when the Detroit Pistons do not win 2 playoff series, which I have said for months, I cannot wait to see the pleas that are copped and the excuses that are given out. when that happens. But other than that, and the inevitable, unless we get the inevitable James Harden meltdown in game six, but I do not care.
So my level of care in that series is tied to my fandom. I root for a team in the Eastern Conference. I would love to see who they're going to face if they're able to make it out of the second round. But if I'm putting on my NBA fan hat, low key, if I'm putting on my NBA fan hat, they might have been the least.
Really?
Because at least you're getting Bron versus the Thunder. Yeah, so, it could be a sweep, but if you're a Bron hater, you're going to want to see him get sweeped. If you're a Bron fan, you want to see David overcome Goliath and his entire family, right? So that I don't know. It's from a star perspective, you got a lot of guys. You got Cade. You got, you know, Donnie. You got James Harden. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be entertaining. But in terms of the level of buy-in, I don't know if a casual fan is buying into Pistons, the Michigan-Ohio State Battle Royal versus Bron versus the Thunder. You feel me? So
I do feel you. And perfect timing, because we have joining us now of the Ringer podcast network, in which he does many shows, and among them he talks about the NBA. Pleased to be joined by Raheem Palmer. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I apologize for being late. I came back, man, to the studio and I had to take a shit. So that's why I'm so sorry.
Yo, you didn't even have to tell us, bro. You know, it's the magic of production. You know how this works. They didn't know. You could have been out, you know, you could have been a vigilante.
I'm just upset because you were solving
crime, and then you came back. And
I was embarrassed for being late. I hate being late. It's one of the things but I had to let y'all know what happened.
I'm just upset because that would have been perfect for you to drop, no pun intended, during the Boston Celtics conversation that we had a few minutes ago.
And we don't want any constipated takes, right, John? So we want you to be lucid and full of clear. I know how it is. Man. You tapping your leg. You like, damn, I got to go.
So listen, they got you guys pumping out content like crazy at the Ringer. So I want to be cognizant of your time. We were just talking. So we're in the process of power ranking the series from least interesting to most interesting. We perhaps unsurprisingly put Lakers Thunder at number four. By the way, gut reaction to the question of if the Lakers upset the Thunder in this series, assuming Luka does not come back, is that the greatest upset in NBA history?
Oh, by far.
Okay.
There's nothing greater than that. It's better than the 2016 Warriors, which I think is a little bit overrated.
I would agree. Yeah. No, Nugget Sonics from way back when.
94.
You know, 94.
That came up. We believe Warriors over the Mavs is another one that we should probably mention. So we've moved on to Pistons Cavs, and I was getting ready to have an invigorating discussion about what I find to be a very interesting series. And both these guys, speaking of taking a crap, crapped all over my enthusiasm because they're like, this series sucks. And I'm going to turn to you. What's interesting, if anything, about Cavs Pistons?
It's very interesting to me because I think you have a contrast of styles. You have one team who has the better offense by far. The Cleveland Cavaliers, their offense is by far better. They're the better three-point shooting team. They're the better half-court offense. If you look at the Cavs in the postseason, they're sixth in half-court offensive rating, 101 points per 100 possessions. If you look at the Pistons, they're 16th in half-court offensive rating. And throughout the regular season, they were 29th in three-point shooting percentage. However, this is playoff basketball. This is big boy basketball. They got a guy named Jalen Duren, who a lot of people say he didn't play particularly well through most of this series, but he should be able to dominate this Cavs front line. So I think that's interesting, just the contrast of styles. I think everybody likes to complain about the three-point shot and how everybody plays the same. Well, this is a series to where you got two teams with different styles. So let's see who wins, because I think Jalen Duren is going to have a monster series. Like, if this was the Eastern Conference Finals, I'd bet the house on Jalen Duren winning Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
More confident in Duren having a big series than Evan Mobley?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a take? I don't know. We're not usually hard on Mobley here, but I just I'm interested in that.
You know, go ahead, Sean.
No. You go.
So, Raheem, what gives you more confidence that Durin is going to break out of whatever he was in his head in round one against Wendell Carter than he would against Big Fro? What do you call him? What is he like? Civil rights pro Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, that front line. Like what gives you more confidence?
The Cavs bigs are soft. They're just soft. We've seen it. How many times have we seen it? We saw it against the Raptors. We saw it against the Knicks. They are soft. And if you look at what Jalen Duren has done to them this year, you go back to, you know, February 27th, 33-16. You go back to March 3rd, 24-14. To me, it's right there for them. And now, I mean, obviously it is the playoffs things, but I don't see the rebounding going away. I don't see the opportunities at the rim going away. I just think if the Pistons are going to be competitive in this series, it's going to be because of him.
I like that take. I also find it very, you know, I'll do my best Bill Simmons impersonation here. I think this is a very interesting series from a Donovan Mitchell, Cade Cunningham. I'm going to announce myself to the national audience in a way that maybe I have not yet. You know, the Mitchell playoff stuff, which like Bill has talked about in his pod, like is interesting to me because obviously we remember the big Mitchell playoff games. And yet we also, there's been some duds. And did he have a good series against the Raptors? I'm asking like almost rhetorically because I think there's arguments both ways. I think he was fine, right?
He had his moments, but I mean, the road games were particularly bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So now he's matched up against a defense that's really going to test him in ways that obviously the Raptors are good, but I don't know that the Raptors test him in ways in terms of individual defensive presence, like a Star Thompson. And then there's the Cade piece of it where I don't know, man, he has an opportunity here because I don't know what the Cavs are going to do to slow him down that the Magic were able to do. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to slow him down. I don't. Like, that's why I'm really leaning towards the Pistons, but it's just difficult because I value half-court offense so much, particularly when the game slows down, and then I also value three-point shooting. But I think the interesting thing that we've seen is that I think somebody – who put this out? But it's like it's been the teams who've had the best defense, which has really advanced. As it, you know, they said if obviously the Raptors lost yesterday, but Matt Brooks tweeted this yesterday. If the Raptors and the Pistons win today, six of the top eight teams in a regular season in defensive rating will advance to the playoffs. Well, right now it's the Pistons. I just trust the defense a little bit more. And then if you get those games from Hart and Donovan Mitchell where they don't show up, it can go the opposite way, but it's tough. I don't really have a pick for this series. I haven't bet on the series yet.
I'm not Sean as our resident. I don't want to say anything.
I am not a Detroit hater. I'm just a Detroit realist. Raheem, I've been on the record as saying that I don't think a team that has one guy that can do everything can win two playoff rounds. That's my concern about Detroit.
Yeah. See, I tend to agree with you. But I just think this Cavs team is just it's so suspect. And yeah. That's the thing that's kind of keeping me off of it because it's just like, you know, on paper, when you look at the half-court offense, you look at the three-point shooting, the Cavs should win, but they couldn't even get through a Raptor. The Raptors have been losing to everybody good the whole year, and they struggled against them. To me, this Pistons team is a better version of them.
I'm not the one who usually puts on my Knicks fan cap during this show, but the way people talk about the Knicks is the way that people should talk about the Cavs based on the body of evidence.
You know,
in terms of the silliness, in terms of how they lost some of those Raptors games was just like inexplicable. We'll save the Knicks talk for last. Let's hit on Spurs Wolves because I think that's probably next up. I'm going to say my take right now. I think there's a legitimate chance that the Wolves not only win this series, but I think there's a very legit chance the Wolves can make it to the finals. I have rarely in my life as an NBA fan been as impressed as I was with what Minnesota was able to accomplish last series. And I know there's a lot of people who are down on Denver and like put it as more of a Denver loss. I think that was a Wolves win. Of those two, which do you see that first round as, Raheem?
I think I agree with you. I mean, but it's just losing Dante is big. I think that hurts. And then we don't know the status of Anthony Edwards. Like, honestly, if those two were healthy, I'd pick the Wolves.
Really? Straight up, you would pick the Wolves to beat the Spurs?
Yeah. I think the Wolves team has more playoff experience. The one thing we've seen throughout the NBA history is that you kind of got to go through the fire. Well, the Wolves have been through the fire. I mean, they've eliminated, you know, some of the, like, they eliminated the Nuggets twice already. You know, in the Nuggets after they won the championship. They eliminated the KD Suns. They eliminated, like, all of these teams that we thought were good at the time. They went through them except for Oklahoma City. So, you know, the biggest thing, I'm not sure what the Spurs offense is on a playoff level. And we know the defense is going to be good.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Minnesota, isn't it just as simple as we are going to absolutely make their lives miserable every time they step foot close to the paint? And we're just going to bet that if this turns into a jump shooting series, that we'll be better. I'm trying to, like, we were talking about JJ Redick's potential strategies against the Thunder earlier. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm almost wondering here with this series, like, would it, I don't know, sure, Jeff, how if you were going to try to devise a defense to stop a Wimby led offense, what would you be doing?
Hey man, this is the battle of Lyon versus Paris. You put Big Rudy, you are up for the assignment, brother. You trying to remind people that you were a four-time DPOY. Go guard your countrymen and do what you did again. You should have a little less pressure at the rim because Wemby likes to play on the perimeter a lot more. But hey, if there was ever a moment you as Rudy Gobert was constructed for one series to shut down somebody who's literally and figuratively otherworldly, this is the time. That really would be what it is, because De'Aaron Fox, I don't know who's guarding him, right? But his speed is probably a mock or two below Maxie's at this point, but still, he's quick, right? You could be fast and quick. Maxie is both. I think Fox is now more quick than fast as he's at the ripe old age of 29, right? But yeah, I think these other guys, you got to force these other guys, like Raheem was talking about. You've been through the fire. Wolves have been through the fire. You got to force these other guys to make tough shots. Castle and Harper, force them on the perimeter. Let's see you knock it down consistently. Let's see. Keldon Johnson, all you guys. Let's see it. And then we'll work from there.
We brought it up briefly before. I'll just ask it open question now. If anybody has any answers, speak now. Who's guarding Julius Randle in this series?
Nobody. Luke
I mean, yeah. Harrison Barnes will. I would imagine he'll get a turn there, right?
Julius Randle.
I was gonna say the only person we said this for years. The only person that could stop Julius Randle is Julius Randle. Simple as that. And to your point about the key is one word: physicality. Mm-hmm. Like, just got to be physical with Wemby and all of them. And to your point, Jeff. I've said this for the longest. Every time Victor Wembanyama takes a three-point shot, that's a win. Every single time. And you will maybe make him take more threes if I'm the Minnesota Timberwolves. Going for Oklahoma City and bringing out the 2x4s and clubbing him over the head and just make him uncomfortable and just be physical. Just be physical. And they can do it. And listen, Julius Randle, physicality is not something he shies away from. That's my key. That's how Minnesota have to win this series.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at all of the Minnesota defenders that they could throw at these guards between AO and obviously Jaden McDaniels will play a massive role. And then the key is obviously Anthony Edwards. I mean, if he's going to say, hey, listen, man, I'm that guy. We talk about Cade in the other conference, talk about Anthony Edwards in this matchup. This is last thing, and then we'll move on to Knicks and Sixers and we'll finish up. Who is this a bigger series for legacy-wise? Rudy Gobert because of the Wemby part of it, or Anthony Edwards to stamp himself as, like, I am the next guy in the NBA?
I'm going to say Wemby.
You mean Gobert or Anthony Edwards?
Gobert
because of Wemby, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's been getting clowned on for his entire career, you know? Yeah. Like, that all ends if they advance past
you
this
You take matchup. Out Jokic and Wemby back-to-back and – you're stamped.
You're done. That's it.
Yeah.
Let's ask the Philly guy about the Sixers. How are you feeling heading into the series?
I'm struggling with this because, and I've been saying this before, I don't know what the Sixers are.
How so?
How many games have the Sixers had their starting lineup the entire year?
23, I think. 20-something.
Well, I forget the starting lineup. I think the Grimes with the starters lineup has already played, I believe, more minutes in the playoffs than they did in the regular season together.
Yeah. So it's like I have this betting model, and I can't even use it because I can't make a number on – I don't know how to make a number on the Philadelphia 76ers because I just don't have enough data. And then you start the playoffs, and Joel Embiid doesn't come back until game three. So it's like, well, we got four games. Like, what do we have? So it's just like, that's very difficult for me. And then I think the Knicks are the deeper team. And then there's also the issue of Joel Embiid is one fall away from his season being over.
So
I said this all year.
Raheem, you know what's funny? It's like, and this isn't like the amorphous I talk to Sixers fans. You know, we're New York. Yeah. You know how it is. You're the tri-state area, Philly. You know mad people from the area. I remember in 2024, just checking the temperature of the city when I went out there for game four, and it feels like Sixers fans just have that pulse of their team. And they just know, like, yo, Embiid at some point, his check engine light is going to come on. It's just not a matter of if, but a matter of when. So now the question is, do you have more faith in Maxey and Edgecombe to be able to put this on their shoulders? Because I already said PG is the X factor, because not only did he have a 25-game vacation, he also got the super soldier serum flowing through his veins. So it may have rejuvenated him. I mean, you see the bounce, bro. You see the bounce. I'm like, oh, I had to look at my watch. I said, it's 2013 or 2026, the way he was moving. So I think it's interesting when Sixers fans are like, I don't know what we got, because I'm looking at the series and there's a lot of if. And I feel like that's been underpinning the Sixers season just because of health.
Yeah.
How many of those ifs need to work out? Or let me put it the other way around. Do all of those ifs need to work out for the Sixers to win this series? Can they afford one not to work out? Can they afford two not to work out? That's like, if the number one if is like Joel Embiid's health, and then, you know, the number two if is like, are we going to have enough depth, or are we going to break down? Like, I feel like I don't even know if – I think they could afford one thing not working out in their favor only because of Maxey. And that's the guy who, like, I always have too much respect for some opposing NBA player. Now it's Tyrese Maxey, because we have no one that could stop that guy. But then again, I don't know who has anybody that could stop that guy.
I think you need a lot of ifs, but I mean, yeah, Maxey could put. I mean, you saw it during the last series. I think it was the game where he basically hit. You know, they set the screen at half court.
Oh my god! Well, Mitch bit on that on the three and foul. That's still giving me nightmares. Don't bring that up.
Don't jump! Don't.
But that tells you, I mean, the top notch talent that the Sixers have. Like, they could easily have, you know, like, you have Maxey and Embiid just go off for four games. That's very possible. But it's just hard for me to see it being likely, because Embiid is just, how is he going to last? How is he going to be durable? And I just think the Knicks just have so much more depth. Like, the Sixers is just, like, I don't know how Drummond is going to be effective. Like, I don't know how some of the bench guys, I just don't see it. So, and then also there's another factor here, and everybody knows I've done research on this for years, and, you know, maybe it's a little priced in now, but teams off of a 7-game series do not do well.
Jeremy talked about this on Knicks Film School the other day.
Can you expand on that? Can you expand on that?
So I did the research on this, and, you know, one of the reasons why I developed this theory was because after the 2016 finals, I struggled to process it. And I said to myself, the Warriors weren't the same team coming into that series because they played that 7-game series against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Cavs, they beat the Raptors in probably one of the biggest point differentials in a 6-game series you'll ever see. So if you look at teams who come off a 7-game series since 1988, in game one, they're 36-54, 40% straight up. Now, if you look at just the series altogether, teams that won a game seven, They're 37-53 straight up in the following series altogether. That's 41%. So, it's damning because, you know, you lose game one and, you know, teams who lose game one, they tend to lose 70% of the time. So it just gives you that extra advantage to, you know, if you get out of a series quick and then the other team is, they on one day of rest.
And I don't know if there's a model for this, but like how many of those teams that won the 30 whatever teams that won game one, won the series, had as limited of a rotation as the Sixers team? And I say limited, not in terms of their top end talent, but obviously the number of guys that they could go to. I'll just ask you from a Sixers perspective, do you think it's more, what's scarier, the version of the Knicks where Karl Anthony Towns is passing from, you know, the pinch posts and like trying to operate, you know, get 5, 7, 10 assists a game, or the version of the Knicks where Jalen Brunson is, you know, going for 40?
Karl Anthony Towns by
scarier,
far.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
I thought, like, to me, Cat should have been. I was mad that they didn't close out that series earlier because I was like, yo, Cat is going to dominate this series. And then, like, I'm watching the first couple games and I'm like, where is Cat? Where is Cat? And it's like, yo, I think it was the game two where it was like, yo, Cat had like 13 or 14 in the third quarter and then barely got a touch in the fourth. So I just think Cat is. They got to utilize Cat. Like, because to me, he's the key.
Which one of our faculty had the joke that he briefly thought the Hawks had traded for Draymond Green and not Jonathan Kuminga? He got confused.
Dog. He saw Kuminga guard Cat, and Mike Brown was like, nah, we not doing that. Brunson, do what you do. I was so pissed because I was like, yo, y'all not even testing it. Run a few plays, and if Kuminga is the lockdown defender you think he is, then switch it up. Then what happened, Raheem? Game four, spam. It looked like 2K. Spam, 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 spam. Kuminga guards him, cooking him. He can't even talk shit. He tried to, but it didn't resonate to the scoreboard. And that's when you got the blowout. So trust me when you say you're not the only one that was pissed. This was the one series where fans proved that they could coach because everybody said give the ball to Cat. They gave the ball to Cat and they blew them out three straight games. Man, you know, sign me up. I only take 500K. I don't even need the whole bill. Sign me up for one series, bro. Let's get out of there.
The new Blazers owner could afford you.
He'd be like, oh, no, I'm good. My price is going up, brother. Don't call my phone. Don't call my phone.
Sean, I actually haven't asked you what's the thing you're looking for most with the series. What's most interesting to you?
The most interesting to me is the matchup between Paul George and Mikal Bridges, because I think, as we said earlier, no one on our team can guard Tyrese Maxey. Absolutely, Mikal Bridges cannot guard Tyrese Maxey. We've seen him have issues with these quicker, faster point guards. But he does better with the wings that are not necessarily depending on like speed. So if he can guard him or slow him down, and vice versa, because I actually believe there's gonna be some cross matching, because I believe you have to put Paul George on OG Anunoby. Because if you don't, or if OG Anunoby does, if OG Anunoby does his thing as Paul George, it's night night, because there's no one else you got. Like, there's just so many. It's really deep. Like, the Mikal Paul George defensive matchup is the biggest one to me, but like the defensive matchups really, really stand out as what's going to change the series. Jeff and I spoke about this on After School yesterday, 2 years ago. You saw a lot of OG on Embiid and Precious Achiuwa roaming the middle. And then you saw it in reverse sometimes. Sometimes you saw Achiuwa on Embiid and OG as the safety, if you will. So, but it comes down to Paul George. Again, these guys are older. These games are every other day for a team that's injuries that, you know, like a team with a bunch of older guys or beat-up guys with like Embiid. Yes, Paul George went to Germany, got up of Hydra. They, you know, they took care of him. However, when they're playing every other day, that can be an issue. So if the Knicks win that Paul George Mikal Bridges matchup, then they should win this series fairly easily.
Your lips to God's ears. Raheem, two more questions for you, and then thank you for your time. You're the man. We'll get out of here. Number one, a Sixers-centric one. If the Sixers win this series, the biggest reason is what?
It's going to be Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid just putting the team on their back. Okay. I mean, you talking 60, 70, 80 points a night.
It's crazy that they're – I looked up their over-under. Shout out to our friends at Fanatic Sportsbook. Like, they're both right up near 30 for, like, the over-under for game one. So, it's not like that's crazy.
Well, they kind of got to, right? Because, listen, Nick Nurse is the labs of the last of the Tibbs Avengers. We see 6.5 guys. Because I'm like, yo, because you tell me, Raheem, like, I like Adema Bona. I like Barlow. You know, what's his? I messed his name up. Justin
Edwards.
Edwards, right? Yeah. I want to call him Williams. It's like one black last name with another. It's one of them, right? Justin Edwards, right? Like, I think those guys are solid. But if you need buckets, I don't know if you're getting them like that. Like, they couldn't get it against the Variants team. I don't know what they're going to do against the Knicks, especially going up against the Knicks bench. So, it's going to have to be like 2024, low-key. They're going to have to both go off.
Yeah, and that's really – I mean, obviously you got Paul George, and he can have, you know, a game. Also, you're going to need VJ to be able to hit that three.
I love that guy, bro.
A couple of variance games to where it's like, all right, VJ is hitting them.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much the series is going to come down to that. Like, both teams have variance guys. VJ is a variance guy for Philly. I think you could argue Mikal Bridges is a variance guy for New York. Like, he has the 20-plus point game in him. It's like, if you're the Knicks, do you need to win that game? If you're the Sixers, it does feel like you need to win the VJ games that you get those points from. Last thing, is there anything the Knicks could do in this series that would make them, let's say, a significantly more serious championship threat to win the title in your eyes?
Well, I already think they're a threat to win the title as long as they don't play Oklahoma City.
Well, that's what I'm asking, man. Like, is there anything they could do in this series? Or I'll even extend it into the next round. Is there anything they could do in this round or the next round that would change that opinion? If it's OKC, it's just they're drawing dead.
No, I think OKC, they're probably drawing dead. But I think, like, honestly, that's a 50-50 series against the Spurs.
And yet, I give you one guess. How every national media member is going to pick that series. Why? Because the Spurs went out and got drunk on Saturday night before they played in the Garden the last time, as we know, right, Chuck?
they were on a cocaine binge.
It's so funny. I bet the house on the Knicks in that game.
Did you really? Okay, smart man.
Because I watched the December 31st game, and to me, the Knicks should have won that game.
Oh, they should. That was very silly.
That was a spooky couple of weeks.
you want to talk about dark times here at Knicks Films?
They should have won that game. So to me, when I came back and played them again, I was like, Knicks going to smoke them. And I was all over it. So to me, I just think, I mean, Oklahoma City is just, they just levels above everybody. And I just think the whole Brunson ball thing, it's not enough against Oklahoma City, the way they defend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have kind of had their way with that. Would be the ultimate. You want to talk about narratives? The ultimate cat. Well, the best narrative would be Wolves Knicks in the finals, but one step down from that would be Cat going up against the Thunder, which is a team that has kind of had their way with him over the years.
Yeah, but I'm a believer in our Knicks, and it's so funny because I was saying before Game 7, the time to buy into the Knicks is now, because we knew that if the Celtics lost that series, the Knicks. I mean, they're gonna be favoring, and it's just like, I don't trust Cleveland. Like, I just think their bigs are soft. Harden, I love Harden to death, but you can't trust them when it matters. And right now, Donovan Mitchell is starting to get that same reputation. So I think ultimately the Knicks. I mean, this is the year. Y'all don't get it done this year. I don't know what to say. I mean,
listen, man, I get scared with talk like that.
But I'm saying, if y'all,
it's true,
it's the window.
Year, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. The stars have never aligned any better than they have, and they may never again.
Well, that's not true. They did when Michael Jordan decided to go play baseball. That's the only other time.
That is the only other time. And we needed Hugh Hollins to call the shakiest foul on Scottie Pippen to get past the Bulls. Hopefully we don't have to rely on. Although, ironically, they sent Scott Foster as the referee tonight for game one. How can you extend a series that hasn't started yet?
You know how you extend the series.
Scott Foster, like, refed, I think those series, what did he ref?
Four.
He refed game four against Knicks Hawks game four.
Yeah.
But he also, I think he refed the last game in the Minnesota series.
Yes, he did. Yes, You're absolutely right. He did. Yep. Yeah, couldn't help them there.
It's the thing about him being an extender is that people think the Adam Silver goes, says, listen, I need it. But what is it? Scott Foster is not afraid to make any call on the home, at home, on the road, on the moon. He will make the call. So because of that, he's not going to be influenced by the home team.
Yeah. I'm still not over the Jalen Johnson sneaker mix up on the sideline.
That was crazy. That was wild. Old man mistake. Mm. Oh, no, that ain't gold. I thought that was yellow.
Raheem, you're the man for hopping in and spending some time here with us on the first day of the second round of the playoffs. Can you let folks know where to find you, your stuff, anything else you want to plug, promote, please?
You can find me on the Ringer Gambling Show on the Ringer Spotify. You can find me. I am Rostradamus. It should be up on the screen, but yeah, you can find me there.
It is.
We were on FanDuel TV today. FanDuel Sports Network. Today was actually the last day for FanDuel Sports Network.
Pour one out.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. We did the last show, I say, just before this. So that was pretty cool.
Sorry to hear that, brother.
It's all good. It's one of those things to where, you know, we basically had a syndication deal. So like everybody sees what Bill was doing with Netflix.
Sure, yeah.
We were syndicated on FanDuel TV originally and then FanDuel Sports Network. So hopefully we find another syndication deal, but either or, you can find us on the Ringer, Spotify, YouTube. So we can keep the show going.
Listen, man, the content is A-plus all the way. I'm never bashful about talking about my fandom of various Ringer properties. So you guys are killing it. Thank you for taking some time. I'm going to let you go, and then I'm going to sign off with these guys, man.
No, thanks for having me. It's truly an honor. I had a lot of fun with you guys. I might come back east for one of these games. So if I do,
let us know.
Link us. Let us know.
Listen, man, Sean's in charge of the watch parties, so you want to have a good time.
Yeah, let us know. we'll figure something out.
All right, no doubt. Y'all have a good one.
Talk to you soon, brother.
You
be well.
Bro.
All right, peace.
All right. Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
Really dope.
Shout out to who you got that done, right, Sean?
I may know a guy we have a mutual friend. So shout out that mutual friend. Shout out to Adam Rosenberg, who is absolutely amazing. And there are not five better people that you can have as a friend. So shout out to him.
That's very nice of you. You're a good friend, Sean. Let's get out of here. I gotta find something to do for the next 4 hours and no 5 hours and 44 minutes so as to not think about this basketball game tonight. Jeff, final word.
Welcome to hell. AKA the second round of the playoffs is going to be exciting. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see who's serious and who's not. Mm. Like where we come from after these rounds, because I feel like the narrative machines have only begun to fight. Mm. So it's going to be fascinating, but I'm enjoying the ride. I'm going to continue to enjoy the playoffs.
Well said. Sean.
We may look back on at the end of this playoff run, wherever the Knicks end up, and say playing the Atlanta Hawks in round one was the best thing that could ever happen to them, instead of sleepwalking through a series against Toronto, which they would have sleptwalked through a series against Toronto and won in five games. But this is where can Oklahoma City break the curse and be a repeat champion? To your point, can they get out of this round? There's a lot of storylines, and there are going to be a lot of content creators who people are going to be on their head tops if their team loses. And you know who you are, but I will not mention your name because I know that's what you want.
Listen, man, if the Knicks lose, I'm that's me. Dude, I'm them.
All of us. It's over. We're getting packed up. So, but we were always going to get packed up no matter what.
Right.
So.
Let's win another couple of rounds first, and then we could cross that bridge when we come to it.
Exactly.
This was great. I'm excited for this to start. I actually am genuinely excited for three of the four series. And if the Lakers actually could steal one of these first couple of games, it'll be 4-4. Appreciate everybody tuning in to another episode of NBA Takedown. Help the channel out. Help it continue to grow. Make sure you are subscribed on YouTube. And if you consume us in podcast form, shout out to you as well. Feel free to leave a rating, review. Those things help us out. Yeah, man, we just appreciate everybody's support from jump, basically, when we got this thing started in October. Excited to keep covering the league throughout the rest of the playoffs and start a free agency. And again, we appreciate everybody being along for the ride with us. Shout out to Raheem Palmer. We will be back with more fun and games before you know it.